listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you Alive for More, a dialogue with Catholic young adults produced by AM 820 to encourage and inspire the universal call to holiness. And now, Alive for More.
Welcome back to Alive for More. My name is Father Nick Ventura. I'm joined in the studio by Jenna Zins, Joel Yarmish, and Trisha Kasson. But before we begin, let's start off with prayer. Jenna, could you please pray?
Of course. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good and gracious Lord, we come to you today with grateful hearts. We thank you for the way that you have revealed yourself to us and revealed your marvelous love. We ask, Lord, that through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, we may grow in love like her, a love that is receptive to all those who come our way, and a love that is receptive to all that you desire to do in and through us. And so we pray today, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary,
that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee do I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not my intentions, but in thy mercy hear and answer me. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you so much, Jenna. That was a beautiful prayer, and really entrusting ourselves to the Blessed Mother, who really lived in a culture where hospitality was seen as something you never refused, and that you never failed to give. And just as a kind of thing, we're going to be talking about hospitality and what that means. It's not just putting on good airs or having good drinks and food at your house, but, you know, a certain amount, a sincerity and generosity of spirit, of being open to others and seeing others as brothers and sisters and wanting to reach out to them. So, yeah, hospitality. There's a lot of directions to go there. Where we'd like to begin, I think, is kind of defining the word. What do we mean by hospitality? What are we discussing here? Joel?
When I think about hospitality, I think of someone who's very welcoming, someone who is a good servant, who is a gracious host, someone who is honest, someone who is caring, someone who provides something to someone who doesn't have what they need.
Mm-hmm. No, and that is an excellent just objective definition. And there's a certain amount of, you know, being open to other people.
Yeah, I think the heart of hospitality is seeing the dignity of every single individual, no matter the circumstance, no matter if that individual is driving you crazy, has hurt your feelings, sees the world in a completely different color, but just recognizing the dignity and where that dignity comes from, which is being created in the image and likeness of God.
Which I think is an important distinction, because we can get overwhelmed thinking hospitality means material goods. So what can I provide for someone? How can I, you know, give them all of the food that they like or all of the gifts that they like? But sometimes we're strapped for cash. You know, that's just the way life goes.
Yeah.
So how is it that I am a person of hospitality? How is it that I open my heart to say, rest here? You know, like, come and enjoy your time here in my heart, because I'm ready to welcome you in whatever way I can and give you a home in my presence. And I think we have to remember that that's a part of hospitality, too.
Where you're just being open and being present. And I know as a priest, I kind of always have to be having that sense, like, how can I make this person know that they are at home with me?
Amen.
I mean, especially if they're difficult. Lots of people in the world, and, you know, sometimes you encounter people that are just difficult to get along with.
Right.
And I think that's a beautiful definition, Jenna, of talking to hospitality. Not necessarily material, be at home in this physical space, but being at home with each other, being able to be comfortable with each other, and not so much you have to be best friends, but, you know, just so that there's not an anxiety of being with someone. I think that's wonderful.
You know, hospitality comes up in scripture, I think, several times. A few of the verses, Romans 12:13, contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. St. Paul kept writing to strangers. And then again in Hebrew, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that some have entertained angels without knowing it, which is really cool.
And, that's something. Abraham did that in the Old Testament. I mean, he thought he was just entertaining people, but he was actually entertaining angels.
Yeah.
And like they were saying, hey, you guys are going to have kids soon, and you know you always want to be that kind of openness, that openness of spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I was going to mention as well. Is that you can trace it all the way back to the Old Testament. But as Jesus did, he bridged the gap between the Old Testament and the New Testament. So in the Old Testament, you see laws where it says, welcome strangers, welcome them into your home, provide for them. But there were also rules against intermingling with strangers. Yeah. You weren't supposed to marry strangers. You weren't supposed to marry outsiders. But when it comes to the New Testament, where Jesus kind of came to reform the heart and just change fully, I guess.
Transforming hearts into believing and being temples of the Holy Spirit, not just, you know, doers of the law, but living in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. And we're called to recreate that divine generosity. Yeah. And I think what's cool is, as Catholics, we get an opportunity every week to be hospitable. Whether you know it or not, every time you receive the communion, every time you receive communion, you're preparing, you're being hospitable, you're welcoming Jesus into your body. You're supposed to keep a clean and tidy house for Jesus because
right,
you receive him
right.
every week, and you're supposed to be warm and welcoming. And I just think that's really cool. It's because I never stopped to think about that until we started talking about this show, and I was like, hey, that's a good opportunity every week.
Yeah, I mean, to welcome the Lord into your heart. And, you know, there's countless stories. I mean, if you just think of like childhood stories that they tell, like the shoemaker who made his last shoe for some poor kid or some mm-hmm. someone, it always turns out to be God in disguise, or, you know, the Lord in disguise. It's like we should be serving everyone or being hospitable to everyone as though they are Jesus, not mm-hmm. just pretending that they're Jesus, but, you know, seeing Jesus in everyone, seeing that mark of the Father, that son or daughter of God.
And it's not even, I mean, I guess technically in those stories, I guess he could be in disguise, but in essence, it's not even a disguise. All of us are a creation, a loved child of God, right?
Right.
And when he says, you know, when he says, you know, whatsoever you do to the least of my people, that's what you do unto me. It's, we are entrusted with these gifts from God, and however we treat them, it reflects back upon us.
And to also realize, you know, the word hospitality comes from the Latin word H-O-S-P-E-S. I don't know how
mm-hmm.
to pronounce it.
Hospes.
Which means guest or host. And to realize, you know, we are all guests on this earth. Mm. And you know, I am no greater than the next person. You know, we are all sojourners. Mm-hmm. And I think because a lot of times we just get this arrogance that we're too good to yeah. welcome.
Yeah.
Right, that somehow this is my world, you're just living in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's an appropriate thing. But before we continue, this is just a reminder, you're listening to Alive for More on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. My name is Father Nick Ventura, and I'm here in the studio with Trisha Kasson, Joel Yarmish, and Jenna Zins. And today we're talking about hospitality. Remember, you can catch us Thursdays at noon, Sundays at 3, or online, on demand at stgabrielradio.com.
Yeah, and we're talking about hospitality. We've kind of defined it a little bit. We've seen examples in the Bible, opportunities in the Bible that presented themselves for hospitality, and how we have opportunities all the time. But I guess the bigger question is why? Why do we need to be hospitable? Why are we called to welcome other people into?
Wait, it's not just because I want them to treat me that way?
No, I don't think I think that is a short-sighted answer.
Are you sure?
No,
no.
No, I am.
Okay.
No, I am.
Sorry,
sure you're not.
Kind of
so the reason that kind of this idea popped into my head for hospitality is because of my wife and my wife's family. They are one of the most hospitable families that I've ever seen. Their doors, I'm not even sure they have locks. They might not. There's always someone there. It's a hub of everyone. And you know, you never have to pay for a hotel if you're going to Cleveland, because you can just stay at the O'Briens. But I see how their family has grown so much from all these opportunities to be hospitable. It's a way, it's another way to emulate Jesus and to emulate his love and the love mm-hmm. that the example that he set for us.
No, and families are the perfect I mean, units, I don't mean to do objective kind of thing, are the perfect places, the perfect locations for hospitality, not hostility, even though maybe it may seem like it sometimes.
It's like you've been over at our house. No, I'm just kidding.
No, hospitality. Because I know growing up myself, my dad, whenever someone would walk in the door, now granted, he was, he is Italian. And so one of the things he would say, hey, do you want a shot of some sort of liquor? And I'm like, Dad, they got to work on our electric. This is a plumber. I don't think I want them drinking alcohol.
At the end of the shift, maybe.
Maybe at the end of the shift. But it's just, and then when I asked my dad, why do you do that? I was like, well, no, they should feel welcome mm-hmm. here. They shouldn't feel like they're, just happen to be in my world. No, I want them here. I want them to be a part of my life in a certain sense. Right. And I think that's a good outset to have is that, like, no, these people are part, I'm part of their lives and they're part of my life.
And what an honor it is to be given this task of hospitality.
Yeah.
What an honor. You know, I remember I had went to confession and I was confessing something related to work, and I work as a nurse. And the priest had said, what an honor you have to care for the flesh of Christ. Mm. And what an honor we have to welcome the flesh of Christ into our hearts and our homes. You know, I think sometimes we can see it as a burden. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it can seem like a burden.
Yeah.
But in all reality, it's such a great honor. And I think we can all think of a time when, like, we went to a friend's house or, you know, a wedding or wherever it was, and we were treated like queens. And it does make you feel loved.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, feel cherished and important.
And I think so often when we picture people in need, we always picture the poorest of the poor who live in another country, or a homeless vet who, you know, is just wandering the streets, or we picture someone who's sick and dying, and our immediate temptation is, well, there's nothing I can do for them. Maybe I can throw money. But there are people in need all around us. And for me, adopting a spirit of hospitality and truly trying to live that out means that you are helping people who are in desperate need.
Yeah.
I mean, I know for myself, if I'm having a bad day and someone brings me a coffee, you know, or someone brings me a little treat, I'm instantly lifted.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have no idea that I had been in such great need. But I think we're walking amongst each other and we are all in great need of, like you said, Tricia, feeling loved and feeling like someone, at least one person, thinks you're important.
Right. And that, I think that is an important ministry, really, that all of us as baptized Christians
should
always be attentive to, is like, how can I minister not to the person who I can't see,
mm-hmm.
but to the brother or sister that I can see? I'm pretty sure Paul wrote on that. I think that's an exact scripture mm-hmm. quote, but like mm-hmm. a good Catholic, I can't mm-hmm. remember it exactly. So,
and you know, the ironically sad part about this is, so often when I'm talking to non-Catholic friends and I'm talking to people who are not attending Mass regularly, they say things like, well, I don't feel like people are really charitable there. I don't feel like I belong. I don't feel like, you know,
I'm welcome there.
I'm mm-hmm. welcome. Yeah. And I just think that, you know, where's the gap there? Because as Catholics, that's what we're called to do, is to welcome people. And is it that we're passionate about the things that, you know, about our faith, and they disagree with that? Or are we genuinely not being welcome? I know, Trish, you were talking about Christmas week at your
yeah,
church.
So I'm a parishioner at St. Patrick's, and I always love it because around Advent, the priest will kind of give a pump up talk, like, you know, it's Christmas, you're going to see a lot of people who don't normally come on Sundays, the church is going to be crowded, they're going to take your parking spot in your pew. And, you know, encouraging us to, instead of rolling our eyes or beeping our horns, but to smile and give up your seat. You know, what an honor it is to welcome you into our church. And also, I sometimes go to a Mass at St. Catherine's in Bexley. And what they've started to do is have, and other churches, I'm sure, in the diocese also do mm-hmm. this. But the new thing that Father started is to have greeters at the door. So when I walk into church, they just say, like, welcome to St. Catherine's. And it's, I don't know, it's just so nice. It is
right.
so nice to be welcomed somewhere. And I think we can be aware of that when we are at church. Like, you know, do we have a spirit of welcoming?
Mm-hmm.
And because when I talk to people who are used to be Catholic, who are fallen away Catholics, a lot of times it's not because of a tenet of our faith that they mm-hmm. left. You know, a lot of times it's because, you know, this sister was so mean to me when she was my teacher, or this priest treated me this way. And or, you know, the parishioners. And I think that we don't realize just how much a gracious spirit can welcome a soul.
Right. And this isn't like necessarily going into being false with our hospitality. I can use my
really
words.
Really struggling
I
with that one.
I know. It's either hostility
it is,
or hospitality.
Word, yeah.
It's the SP words. Anyways, hospitality. You don't want it to be false. You don't want it to be ingenuous. That's why there's a certain amount of integrity of heart mm-hmm. when you are hospitable to someone. Where, like, you know, the like you were talking about the greeters at different parishes and stuff mm-hmm. like that. It is a good thing, but if it's just like, oh, hi, welcome, and then you just move on to the next person behind them, it seems kind of like an institution.
People can spot phony.
Yeah, and the thing, yeah, exactly. People can spot phony from miles away. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so if there's an actual, like, I'm glad you're here. Like, my first time at celebrating Christmas Mass as a priest, I had wonderful opportunity of, I saw thousands of people who normally I don't see.
Right.
And so I could have been like, oh, I'm glad you're here. Or saying that kind of derisive voice, saying, yeah. like, oh, I don't
I thought you,
you
had
before.
Lost the place.
Yeah. yeah. Or, yeah, no, something like that. But instead of saying, hey, well, welcome. Merry Christmas. I'm glad you're here. You know, there's seats over here. I mean, just being able to talk with them and recognize them as people or even, you know, just recognizing the fact, hey, your kid, he looks kind of confused. Mm-hmm. Is he okay? Does he want some water? I mean, you know, mm-hmm. just like trying to make them feel comfortable.
And I think that, you know, we are hospitable to extend the love for others, but I think it does a lot for our own good.
Yeah.
We can look at the road to Emmaus and these two men who were, who this was after the crucifixion of Christ and they were walking on
and the
this
resurrection.
Road. And yeah, they were just like sad and depressed and confused and directionless. They're, you know, this man had just died and they welcomed a stranger on the road, right? They welcomed a stranger and they shared a meal with him and it ended up being the person of Jesus Christ. And they left feeling so hopeful. And, you know, they just saw the face yeah. of Christ. They left full of zeal and passion and they were alive again. And I've seen that in my own life, you know, just this idea that when we welcome somebody, it does more for us. We could be in a hopeless place, and then we're filled with hope.
Mm-hmm. And your hope for being...
Alive for More. You're listening to Alive yes. for More on St. Gabriel Radio. You can listen to us online and on demand at stgabrielradio.com or Thursdays at noon and Sundays at 3.
Correct.
I'm here with Father Nick Ventura, Jenna Zins, and Joel Yarmish, and we are discussing hospitality, and in particular, how can young adults be hospitable today in the church?
And I think that's a great kind of segue, talking about, all right, as young adults, so we've talked about wanting to have that generosity of spirit. Practically speaking, what does this look like? Does it mean right. inviting people to our apartments? Does it mean, you know, when you go out to eat, pick up the tab every once in a while? I mean, what kind of ideas do we have? I know in my own life, I mean, having recently been able to have money at my disposal to use because of an income, I'm able to treat people to, like, if someone says, hey, let's go get coffee, Father, and then being able to say, I'm buying this. Oh, you didn't have to, Father. I know I didn't. That's why I did it.
right.
So, I mean, I'm not trying to mm-hmm. tote something there, but, you know, right. just examples. How can we be hospitable in a world where it needs more hospitality?
Yeah. Well, I think another resurrection story is you think about Mary Magdalene and there she is. She knows where Jesus is. She knows what's happened. And she sprints back to tell other people. How often am I sprinting to those in my life who aren't coming to Mass, who aren't praying every day, to invite them into a relationship with Jesus Christ? I think that's one of the ways we can be hospitable, absolutely, is to say, oh my gosh, on behalf of my king, you, please, please, please come. You like come to the castle, come to the feast. Like you will not be disappointed. I promise. Like I will offer you the finest things because that's all he has to offer. And I think training ourselves to be on that level, to be that excited about yeah. inviting people back into the life of the church. I think as young adults, we come across people who, oh, I used to be Catholic. Oh, I'm Catholic, but I'm not a good one. You know, those are the yeah. phrases I hear mm-hmm. most often. And so where am I, you know, in my inviting process? Where am I in saying, oh, and it, the nice thing is when you invite somebody to Mass, you're not the one setting up or cleaning up. You're not
yeah,
the one.
Exactly.
You know,
your work is kind of out of it. Yeah.
That's one of the best places to be hospitable is a place where
you don't
all
have
you have
up.
To give is the invite, yeah.
Yeah, precisely. And when you, I just thought of something funny, and you say, well, I used to be Catholic, but I'm not a good one. And I say, well, great, yeah, I'm a priest. I know that feeling.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just always be invited. I think that's that is a great point.
Yeah, and you know what I've learned over the past couple of years is one of the greatest forms of catechesis is to live a happily Catholic life. Mm-hmm. So people see you and they associate you with Catholicism. And you can either be a good representation of your faith or you can be a poor representation of your faith. And I think the world is full of both. I think they're full of people who claim to be Catholic but aren't living the fully Catholic life. I'm guilty of that quite often. But I think there are people who are a great representation of it. And you can be a hospitable, as Jenna said earlier, not just with, you know, materialistic goods. You can be hospitable with your emotions. You can love someone. You can be kind to someone. You can be there for someone. And when they see you being kind, loving, and I guess as the theme goes, hospitable, they associate that with Catholicism. And then you're not only caring for them in their time of need, but you're also like nudging them and saying, hey, this is Catholicism.
This is my joy. Yeah.
Like, I'm not naturally like this. This is like, this is my faith working through me. So come on, hang out at the.
I think that, you know, two ways that come to mind when we think are what are ways young adults can be hospitable today. The first, and I think probably the most important, is something Joel already hit on. Whom should we be most hospitable to? And that's Jesus Christ, who is in the Eucharist.
Yeah.
And, you know, are we preparing ourselves and our hearts first to receive him in the Holy Eucharist? And, you know, and then after we're receiving him with a full and open heart. I think a way, you know, we can look at a statue of Mary, Our Lady, and we always see her with her hands open, ready to receive. You know, she's not her arms aren't crossed around her chest. And, you know, today what we see and what I'm, you know, guilty of all the time is we don't even encounter any people anymore, and we don't receive people because our faces are in our cell phones,
right,
or our iPads, or crossed around our chests. When we're riding in an elevator with someone, we're just staring at our feet or our cell phone, browsing the internet, looking at nothing.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, as a young adult in this technological world, one of the best and easiest and maybe simplest ways to be hospitable to people is just to look at them and encounter them.
And
maybe
say,
smile
at them. Hey, how's your day going?
We don't even get smiled at anymore on a regular basis or acknowledged. And I don't know.
No, I think small baby steps in terms of walking that way. And everybody can think of someone they could be more hospitable to, someone who's like, I need to welcome them more. I need to be there for them. Or, you know, just thinking about, like, if you're listening right now and just wondering, well, I can't really think of anyone. Well, you know, maybe the Lord is just saying you need to smile at everybody. Not just one person, but just, you know, when you get out of the car and you're at work, get in the elevator. If someone gets in the elevator with you, I really love that example.
Yeah.
And just saying, hey, how are you? How's your day going?
Right. Because really, you can't be hospitable and be selfish. I think about if you had a huge house, if you grew up in a mansion or if you owned a mansion and you invited someone to stay with you and you thought, I could give them the nice towels, but then what would I use? Or, you know, or I just in case they use too many. And so you're like, here's a washcloth for your whole family. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You would never invite someone into your home and do that. You would never say, you know what, I could have breakfast for them, but I'd rather just push them out the door and hope that they don't get hungry later. You would go above and beyond. So how do you in your daily life exclude your own selfishness? You start by putting your cell phone down. Okay, I could
check my
Facebook status right now. I could post something on Twitter. I could see what the last 8 people put a picture of on Instagram. Or I could offer this person the best I have, which is actually me. And I think that's part of it, is recognizing our own self-worth. You have something to offer someone just because you exist too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you just reminded me of the towels thing. I had a Cuban great-grandmother. If we offered the worst towels in the house to anybody, I'm afraid she'd come back and haunt me.
Right,
because she's like,
right.
No, you don't do that. You offer your best towels. That's it. I mean, you don't give guests the ratty, you use the ratty towels for yourself because the guests are supposed to get the nice towels.
Right.
Or, in fact, my grandmother always had this one set in the house. Like, Grandma, why can't I use that? Oh, no, those are for guests.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why can't we just use it? They're just saying, no, those are for guests.
Or I think so often, you know, oh, gosh, an elevator ride, what's that, 25 seconds? I can't do anything in 25 seconds. But who am I to decide what I'm worth to someone else or what the Lord wants to do with that time?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I mean, I was able to go on a mission trip in college to Honduras, and there was a mountain team who went into, like, the mountains. And mm-hmm. they'd hiked a day to even get to, like, a village.
Is that why they're called a mountain team?
Yeah. And anyways, they came back down from the mountain, and, like, the climax of their trip, they had went with a priest. It was a sacramental mission, and the priest was going to celebrate Mass with these Catholics who don't have access to a priest. But what was most beautiful to them is they had one chicken, and when these three people with the priest came, they slaughtered the chicken for the priest. Mm. You know, and they had nothing, but they gave it to these people. And yeah, like, do we have that generosity in our heart? Can we give until it hurts?
Yeah, I'm, and that's something a lot of people, I think, struggle with, is like, well, I don't want to hurt. I don't mm-hmm. have that much. Like, I guess in my mind, like, if I only had one chicken, the hypothetical one chicken, would I be willing to kill that mm-hmm. chicken mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. for to eat for right. someone random?
Right.
I mean, and I guess it's like, how do we get to the point of wanting to covet our own things to being saying, no, here, let's use this.
Right.
It's meant to be used this way. And I think, I mean, one thing is just the change of mindset that we're made for communion, that we're made to be with others,
right.
that we're not just isolated islands, but we're built for communion. We are meant to live for other people. And I think that's something we kind of all hit on in discussing hospitality, this concept of this openness and generosity of spirit, being generous with yourself. I think that's really a powerful thing to meditate on. And I think we've discussed it well, still more room to talk about. And, you know, this is something you can even talk with your friends. The intent of this show is not just we exhaust everything, but that you go out there and talk about it. Those, like, hey, I heard about this. Let's talk about this. Mm-hmm. But right now, that's all the time we have. My name is Father Nick Ventura. I'm here in the studio with Trisha, Joel, and Jenna. But right now, Joel, could you close us out in prayer?
Yeah. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we thank you so much for all the gifts that you have given us. We pray for the strength to use those gifts in a way to better serve you. And we pray, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Until next time, pray for us.
Alive for More is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Alive for More and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.